You're so close that I can feel you. I'm lost in words. No, my eyes have never seen you. I've seen the light of the sun. I know what you are.
Starting on April 14th, and that will be offered at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You can join us here in the building. We're going to be in the community room, or you can sign up to be a part of the Zoom experience as well. We're going to offer it as a hybrid since we're able to come back to church a little bit more during the week. And then we are also going to start having in-person Sunday school beginning next week. Many classes are choosing to come back. Some classes are choosing to stay virtual on Zoom. So I hope that you're having those conversations with your classes. And then if somebody from your class would just contact the church office so that we know what you are planning to do. And then wanted to let you know that our Easter offering this morning is going to benefit our sister church in Austria, Estonia. And then also the Jubilee Project in Sneedville, Tennessee, one of the missions of our Holston Annual Conference. And then some of you might remember that last year we were partnering with RAM to do their medical event for those who just need medical checkups. And of course it got canceled because of the pandemic. But they have rescheduled last year's event to the first weekend of May for this year. So that's going to be happening. And they have asked us to collect canned goods and healthy grains and cereals. So not that good stuff that has all the sugar on it, but like the healthy stuff that is actually good for your body. That's what they're asking us to offer. So they're going to have us put together food boxes for the participants at the RAM event. So if you'd like to do that, you can drop food off on Sunday mornings when you come for worship, or you can drop it off at the front door of the church during the week. So just some opportunities for you to be a part of. So we're going to do what we've been called to this time and this place to do, and that is to worship God. And we're going to start with a video this morning. You are able, and we are going to proclaim the truth of Easter this morning. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let us worship.
Till I met you, then you called my name. chains break at the weight of your glory. I'm in a shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, and your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, cause when you call my name, this morning, Lord, thankful for such a great crowd this morning, Lord, a great looking bunch of people. Pray, God, that you'll be with us during the remainder of this service, Lord, and have your will this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
may be seated.
Concerns and our joys this morning. Nadine Parker continues to need prayer, but she is at home and recovering. Ronnie Malloy had open heart surgery on Friday and is at UT and ICU recovering. Becky Cunningham is having some health issues and has been at the hospital for a few days. Laura Murray's brother, Thomas, has been dealing with some health issues. We ask that you continue to remember Ray Damon and Bill Grigsby. And then Sandy and Ed Payne's granddaughter, Madison Lawson, continues to need our prayers. Susie Dixon and Marcia Easley continue to need our prayers as well. We also want to remember those who have been victims of violence over the last few weeks. We want to remember Christians all over the world who are celebrating and gathering together to celebrate the resurrection this morning. I did get a note from the pastor at our sister church in Ossory, and she told me about the great celebration that they had. They're not able to meet in person yet still because of the government protocols, but they were able to worship online together. She was just really excited to share that with us. I want to continue to remember Cynthia Jarnigan and her family and the death of her aunt, Billie Jean Young. But now we want to take this time to still our hearts and our minds and gather together for a time of prayer. Let us go to God. Precious and holy Lord, we gather this morning in the beauty of this day with the signs of spring blossoming all around us, reminding us that new life is here and that you are here with us. You come to us with power beyond all knowing. You lift things out of the dust. You breathe love into every cell of who we are. And you call us this morning to come and to be with you as you claim victory over death. So it is with joy that we come this morning and we offer to you our prayers. Pray for Christians around the world who are united this morning at the empty tomb. Help us to see you, O God, and those that we do not expect to encounter at the tomb. And we ask that you would remove all the fear from our hearts. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of this planet, our home, and then we ask that you would heal what we have scarred and broken. That you would help us renew the face of the earth from the north to the south, from east to west, so that even your creation may speak and sing to us of your goodness. And it is with hope and love that we pray for the nations of the world this morning. We especially pray for those places that are overwhelmed by war and conflict. We ask, O God, by the light of the resurrection, that you would destroy the shroud that is cast over all who live in fear this day. Bless the peacemakers who work to bring justice to their countries, their cities, their villages, and their households. With compassion, O God, wipe away the tears of all who weep. Give us the spiritual tools that we need to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and comfort those who are in any trouble. And now we ask that you would hear the prayers of this body of Christ gathered together this morning. Those that we have spoken aloud, or those that we give to you now in the silence of our hearts. Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you forever. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, as we once again hear that old familiar story. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming, bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most holy and living God, for the reading and hearing of your word this day, we give you thanks. And for the way in which your word inspires our lives, we give you thanks. So now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be holy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our rock, and our redeemer. So I've been leading a Bible study twice a day on Wednesdays on a book that studies about darkness. It talks a lot about darkness, and I think most of the class is pretty excited that it's over. They've kind of trudged along with me. Denise has been in that class, and it's been kind of a hard read, a good read, but a hard read. But in this book, one of my favorite authors and preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, talks about physical darkness, how our bodies need the dark in order to get enough sleep, and how we are missing out on the benefits of the dark because of all the light pollution that we have in the world today, and how exposing ourselves to the dark, like crawling into caves or connecting with the blind, can actually help us to find a place of quiet and help to restore our lives. But of course, physical darkness is not what Barbara is trying to really get us to think about. She wants us to also experience spiritual darkness and think about the kind of darkness that we experience in times of grief or in anxiety. The kind of spiritual blindness that perhaps all of us have known at some time in our lives. The spiritual darkness that we walk through when we feel stuck and we just can't see our way out of a situation. And we have listened hard for the voice of Jesus to know in which direction we are to go. In these times, it is true that we indeed walk by faith, not by sight, because we can't see far enough ahead of us to know or understand where the steps are going to lead us, what the consequences of those steps might be. All we know is that we are following the voice of Jesus in a particular direction. But what Barbara wants us to take away from this book overall is that the dark is not a bad or scary place. The author contends it's a place where we indeed can grow spiritually, a place where we can truly learn what it means to trust in the Lord. Because without these times, the author suggests, then our faith would be immature. Our faith in Christ would never grow. And we wouldn't learn to trust that Christ has the best intentions for us. Not only in the next life, but in this life too. You see, if we allow it, the dark can be a place where we are transformed, and it can bring us new life. This is certainly what happened to Jesus in this time. While most of his miracles happened in a public way, this miracle, this defeat of death, this rising from the tomb, it happened in the darkness, with zero witnesses. This miracle was solely between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the dark and damp of the tomb, sometime in the middle of the night. It's not exactly a unique time in the way that God moved. Think of God moving alone in the darkness over the waters, the chaotic waters, before God begins to create. For Jesus, it is in the dark that new life is breathed into his lungs, in the dark that his heart begins to beat again, and that he slowly blinks his eyes open. At least that's how we imagine it happened, right? Because again, no eyewitnesses to tell us anything different. What we see is the result of Jesus' transformation as these women approach the tomb. And transformation is what we're all seeking in life, right? We seek to be transformed in one way or another. Everyone here seeks something to change in their lives. It may be something as common as maybe changing the size of your waistline, or as complicated as transforming a broken relationship. But transformation is not what these women are expecting as they walk to the tomb that morning in the darkness with their spices in hand. They're not excited this time to see Jesus. They're not elbowing each other and giggling, wondering what it is that Jesus is going to do with this one. After all, he said he was coming back, right? No, they just can't quite wrap their heads around that possibility. They are in mourning. They are worried about who they're going to get to roll away the stone from the front of his tomb. Scholars and archaeologists estimate that the stone that would have been needed to cover the opening would be about 4 to 6 feet in diameter and approximately 1 foot thick and weigh between 1 to 2 tons. Now, y'all, I'm a girl who likes to lift. I can't imagine moving 1 to 2 tons. It would have taken a lot of men to roll this stone away with a lot of elbow grease. The women coming early that morning certainly couldn't have moved it without some help. So this is what worries them. What they are discussing as they come to the tomb, only to find that the one thing, the one problem that was heavy on their minds isn't going to be a problem after all. The 1 ton stone has been rolled away. The tomb is standing open and standing empty. What seemed immobile and immovable a minute ago, they realize now won't be a problem at all. There are so many things in our lives that often seem immovable and immobile as that stone. Perhaps it's the diagnosis that no matter how many treatments you've tried or how many drugs you've tried or how many prayers that have been prayed for you, it's just not going to get out of the way. A marriage that just doesn't seem to want to heal. A relationship that no matter what you do and no matter how many things you try to do better, just refuses to budge in any direction. Perhaps it's just that perpetual grief and darkness that seems to follow you around. We try and we try and we try over and over again to transform our lives, change our lives into something that might be halfway enjoyable or at least look halfway decent from the outside. And there are times that we feel like we just need to work a little bit harder. But more times than not, transformation seems to slip through our fingers like sand. So I think it's in times like these that we need to go back to the women walking to the tomb of Jesus. Because Jesus is transformed from death to life in the darkness of a tomb, but the reality is that the women on this first morning, they left their warm beds and their homes to come and find Jesus in death. They felt that death was that immovable stone that no one had ever been able to negotiate with or to work around. Death was the ultimate immovable stone that we are called to face at one time or another in our lives. Like the great theologian Jim Morrison said, no one gets out of here alive. And yet, here we are. Here we are celebrating this morning that morning, some 2,000 years ago, the stone was rolled aside and life emerged from a cold, dark, empty tomb. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, the angels proclaim. This one event transformed the lives of the women, the lives of the disciples, and the lives of everyone since. Every one of us who has heard the story of a man who defeated death. And every one of us who came to believe that such a thing was possible. Who came to believe that death isn't final. Death is not as final as it wants us to believe. So here we are on April 4th of 2021. After a hard year. How does this story transform our lives today? Because yes, Jesus died and rose so that we might go to heaven one day, but what about today? What about all those things in our lives that need fixing? Here's the miracle of the resurrection. Once death is defeated, once we remember that death has been defeated, once that immovable stone has been moved out of our way, maybe, just maybe some of these other things that feel so immovable, that feel so heavy, maybe they're not quite as big as we thought they are. Maybe those broken relationships in the face of the empty tomb don't seem quite so immovable. Maybe the financial hardships that you're living through right now, maybe they aren't quite so immovable. Maybe the grief that you feel isn't quite so immovable. Because here's the trick about the resurrection. The women, they didn't do anything to make it happen. The disciples did nothing to make it happen. This was wholly and solely the act of God that happened in the dark of the tomb. And so maybe to experience the transformation that the empty tomb offers, maybe we've already done our side of the work. We showed up. We have shown up, and we have been still in the moment. Maybe all that we have to do is stand still and stare at that big old rock that just a few minutes ago seemed really impossible to do anything about. And just a few minutes ago seemed like an insurmountable problem. Maybe all Jesus asks us to do is just be here for a few minutes and wait until Easter finds us. So if Easter finds you standing in a garden with a bag of spices in your hand, slack-jawed and speechless from what you have witnessed, then that's okay. Jesus is fine with that. He's just glad that you're here and that you stuck around a little longer to see him. So I'm going to ask the band to come back up here, and we're going to have just a moment of prayer together. And I don't know if you can see, but there's a stone on the altar this morning. That's our visual for this morning. And I just want you to think about what feels immovable in your life. What feels so heavy that you can't lift it yourself? What do you need to wait for God to do? Because you can't do it yourself. So as the band sings our closing song this morning, I hope that will be your reflection. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Out of the shadows, down to the gallows, a dare you walking, to love keep calling, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
Social media so that we can enjoy those with you and remember everybody that was gathered here today. I want to invite you to stand as you're able as we receive our benediction. Friends, what I know to be sure is that God is still doing a lot of work. God is still doing a lot of work in the dark, and God is still rolling stones to bring in the light. So whatever feels insurmountable to you or immovable to you, maybe all you need to do is show up and let God do some work. So as we remember the Easter story this morning, as we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us go in love and grace and peace, celebrating and sharing with all the world the good news that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
Oh, Jesus.